Welcome to Entertainment, baby. We are so ready to get into it today. We're taking the biggest, messiest, most, I guess, clamorous stories dominating the conversation.
Yeah.
And we are not just skimming the surface. We're going fully submerged because this week has been, I mean, it's been an absolute convergence of extremes.
It really has. We're talking about everything from, like, high-stakes legal battles and shocking prison revelations.
All the way up to a $175 million birthday party.
With actual royalty in attendance. I mean, you were looking for a clear picture of the spectrum of celebrity life. From rock bottom in federal prison to the absolute peak of billionaire luxury this week, it delivered.
It really did. So our mission today is to cut through all that noise, give you that crucial shortcut, and really get to the why behind the headlines. We've got high society, Hollywood drama, and of course, reality TV chaos.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's not waste any time. We're jumping straight into the legal filings where, I mean, the financial stakes could not be higher. We have to begin with the incredibly dramatic and really very lengthy split of rapper Akon and his estranged wife, Temeca.
Yeah, and this isn't some quick celebrity breakup. This is the end of a relationship that spanned nearly three decades.
29 years.
29 years, yeah. And that duration is like the most crucial piece of context when we look at these recent legal documents. Temeca, she filed for divorce back in September, but the real fireworks started with Akon's response.
Okay, so what did he say? He is apparently playing hardball when it comes to spousal support.
Oh, total hardball. He's requesting a complete termination of spousal support for Temeca. On the forms, he literally checked the box for zero spousal support.
Wow. After 29 years. In California, that's a huge deal, isn't it?
It's massive. Mm. In California, after a marriage of over 10 years, the court generally presumes that spousal support will continue, maybe even indefinitely.
Right.
So for Akon to come out of the gate trying to shut that down entirely,
yeah,
it's a declaration of war on the financial front.
But, okay, let's dig into this a little, because when you look at Temeca's initial petition, it sort of indicates a mutual thing, right? Or at least a similar protective strategy.
It does. And this is where it gets really interesting and kind of sophisticated. When Temeca filed, she also requested that the court not award Akon any spousal support.
Ah, okay. So it's reciprocal.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It signals that maybe there's a pre-existing agreement, or at least a mutual desire, to keep their financial worlds totally separate after this is all done.
Which makes sense for high net worth people with, like, complicated assets, music royalties, businesses.
All of it. It's a tactic to make sure neither party can come back later and claim they need money. It just protects the whole asset division.
So it's less about being malicious and more about creating a clean, permanent financial break.
Probably, yeah.
But beyond the money, they're clashing over their child. They share a 17-year-old.
Right. And the conflict here is all about physical custody. Akon is asking for joint physical custody, so, you know, equal time.
And to make.
She's requesting joint legal custody. It's pretty standard. They both get a say in big decisions, but she wants full physical custody.
So just to be clear for everyone, that means the child would live primarily with her.
Primarily with her, yes.
Okay.
And Akon would get, you know, defined visitation time. At 17, the kid's preference is obviously going to be a huge factor. But her asking for full physical suggests she wants to be a primary home base as he finishes high school.
It's such a complex end to three decades together. And while all this is happening, Akon has this other totally separate legal headache.
The double trouble. It's a mess.
Yeah. So right in the middle of this divorce drama, he was arrested last week in Georgia.
For failure to appear in court. And it was all related to driving with a suspended license.
It just shows you how chaotic it can get. You're navigating this massive multi-million-dollar divorce one day, and the next you're dealing with a bench warrant for a traffic issue.
It's all happening very, very publicly.
Speaking of high-profile legal matters, let's pivot to someone who is currently serving time, Sean Diddy Combs.
Mm-hmm. He was convicted back in October 2025. Two counts of transporting individuals for prostitution. He's serving a 50-month federal sentence.
But his environment behind bars sounds surprisingly comfortable. Maybe not comfortable, but highly sought after.
Well, his placement was very strategic. He's at FCI Fort Dix in New Jersey, which is a low-security facility. The main reason for that specific prison was to get access to the Residential Drug Abuse Program.
RDAP. I've heard of this. Why is that program so important?
It's the Bureau of Prisons' most intense substance abuse program. It's a huge commitment. We're talking 500 hours over 9 months, but the incentive is massive.
The sentence reduction.
Exactly. successful completion can knock up to 12 months off your sentence. For a 50-month sentence, getting a year off is, I mean, it's a game changer.
So he's going for rehab to get out earlier. But the thing that really made me look twice was his job assignment inside. He seems to have landed a pretty privileged role.
He really did. So he has the common laundry duty, like a lot of other inmates, but his other job is as a chaplain's assistant. And that job carries a lot of prestige inside.
Why, though? It just sounds like office work.
It's all about the little things that make prison life more tolerable. You get to manage the library, help with records. But the key thing is cleaning the chaplain's private office.
Okay.
That private office is one of the few places in many federal prisons that has air conditioning.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think of that.
Access to AC in the summer is an incredible luxury. Plus, chaplains sometimes get food and drinks brought in for services, and a little of that might get shared with the assistant. It's a quiet source of comfort and status. His publicist even called the environment warm, respectful, and rewarding.
So he's definitely leveraged his status to navigate a tough situation, but there was a quiet bombshell about his sentence that just dropped.
Exactly. His release date was supposed to be May 8th, 2028. But that's been quietly pushed back to June 4th, 2028.
So they added almost a month to his sentence.
Yeah, with no public explanation from the Bureau of Prisons, which is typical. It's a pretty big setback, especially when he's in that RDAT program.
And what are the rumors? What could he have done to get his sentence extended?
Well, the BOP won't comment, of course.
Yeah.
But the reports are suggesting a couple of things. One was an unauthorized three-way phone call.
Which is a huge security risk. They monitor all of that.
A major security risk, yeah. The other rumor, which is kind of ironic given the program he's in, is that he was allegedly caught with homemade alcohol.
Wow, okay.
And so whatever he did, that one-month extension is a clear message that even high-profile inmates have to follow the rules or those privileges and sentence reductions can disappear.
The legal drama just never stops. We have to quickly touch on a couple of other things. First, the never-ending Ray J and Kardashian saga is back.
He is escalating things again. He's countersuing Kim Kardashian and Kris Jenner over the sex tape.
And this new claim is about, what, a settlement agreement?
Yeah. He's alleging they violated a settlement agreement that was supposedly worth $6 million. So he's basically arguing that they broke the terms of the deal that was supposed to put this whole thing to bed years ago.
It's incredible how that one incident just continues to have this legal life.
It really is.
And finally, a huge social media star had a very sudden, very public run-in with the law.
Jack Doherty. Famous since 2017 for flipping objects, of all things.
Yeah.
He has like 13 million followers on TikTok and Instagram, 15 million on YouTube.
And the timing was just wild. He was posting footage from a yacht in Miami hours before he got arrested.
Right. And he was charged with possession of amphetamine, which can be for ADHD, and a small amount of weed. His bond was set at $3,500.
The optics are just yachts one day, booking photo the next.
It's a sharp reminder that reality can intervene very, very abruptly.
All right, that covers the legal turmoil. Let's move to the complete opposite end of the spectrum. Pure, unadulterated opulence.
For money is absolutely no object.
Yeah.
And the police get called because your party is too loud.
Of course.
We were talking about Kris Jenner's 70th birthday, and for a party this big, she needed a venue that just screamed wealth and power. So she picked Jeff Bezos's $175 million mansion in Beverly Hills.
I mean, the ambition of this event is just, it's off the charts. The theme was James Bond, which is perfect. And the guest list wasn't just A-list. It was the absolute top of the food chain.
Let's just run through a few of these names because it's unbelievable. Mariah Carey, Justin and Hailey Bieber, Alicia Keys, Beyonce, and Jay-Z.
Adele, Chris Rock, Oprah, Gayle King.
And as you mentioned, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. It's like every power player in entertainment was in one room.
And that guest list tells you everything about the social currency of the Kardashian-Jenner family right now. They are the nexus point where old Hollywood, new media, and literal European royalty all meet.
The venue itself is a whole other story. Tell us about the Warner Estate. Bezos bought it for $165 million back in 2020.
It's a monument to Hollywood's golden age. It's this huge 13,600 square foot Georgian-style mansion built in the 30s. It belonged to Jack Warner, the head of Warner Bros. Studios.
But there's a detail about the flooring that just blew my mind.
Yes. This is the detail that elevates it beyond just being an expensive house. The antique wood flooring in one of the rooms was imported, and it's believed to be the exact floor that Napoleon Bonaparte walked on.
Wait, what?
And where he proposed to Empress Josephine.
So you're telling me at Kris Jenner's James Bond party, global superstars are dancing on the floor where Napoleon proposed.
That is the story. It is the ultimate trophy piece for a billionaire. The juxtaposition of history and modern celebrity is just, it's almost unbelievable.
And the house has all the modern stuff too, right? Like a golf course.
Oh yeah, a gym, a basketball court, a reef-themed pool, a private nine-hole golf course, and its own private gas pumps. It's a self-contained universe of luxury.
A universe so luxurious that the party still got the cops called on it.
That's right. The neighbors called with noise complaints. That's the ultimate sign of a successful Hollywood party, isn't it? When you've pushed the boundaries of Beverly Hills decorum.
And in the middle of all this, Kim and Chloe were seen hanging out with Britney Spears. It just felt like a night where, as someone put it, no grown-up rules apply.
Exactly. It's a social and business lubricant. It's about making connections and reinforcing that hierarchy.
Okay, moving from the mother's huge spectacle to the daughter's more intimate celebration, Kourtney Kardashian celebrated Travis Barker's 50th birthday on November 14th.
And her tribute on Instagram was really significant. She didn't just say happy birthday. She focused on his character and his role in their blended family.
She used some really powerful words. Grateful, generous, real, raw, dedicated, devoted family man. And she called him the leader of our family.
That phrase, leader of our family, is a huge statement in the Kardashian world, which is so matriarchal. She's publicly defining the stability he provides. It was a really powerful expression of commitment.
And the party itself was lavish but small, right?
Very intimate. She showed pictures of this magical candlelit dinner. The ceiling was covered in cream balloons with black ribbons. It was a very specific, contained atmosphere, a total contrast to Kris's massive party.
And this 50th birthday comes right after they celebrated their son Rocky's second birthday.
Right. It's just a constant stream of family events.
Mm-hmm.
They're always affirming their status as this unified, cohesive family unit, despite all the complexities.
All right. We've covered the absolute peak of high society. Now let's pivot to the royalty of structured drama, reality television, and BravoCon.
The main event.
BravoCon 2025 in Vegas was a headline machine, but the biggest news to shake the reality TV world was the triumphant return of the original queen,
Vicky Gunvalson.
The OG of the OC is back.
This is a monumental moment for the whole franchise. Vicky was there from day one, season one of The Real Housewives of Orange County in 2006. She did 13 seasons full time.
And her tagline, I'm the OG of the OC and everyone else is just a copy, isn't just a quote. It's basically true. She was the template.
She was. And her return is perfectly timed because RHOC is about to hit season 20. The first Housewives show to hit two decades. Bringing Vicky back for that is a huge symbolic move. It's a return to their roots.
And the announcement itself was pure spectacle.
Yeah. It happened live on stage at the Bravo's awards show. Andy Cohen walks out, presents her with an orange, the symbol of being full-time housewife, and formally asks her to rejoin the cast. She was so emotional.
When you think about her past storylines, they were franchise-defining.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The biggest has to be the Brooks Ayers cancer-faking scandal. That was a multi-season saga that divided everyone and brought so much public scrutiny.
Unbelievable television.
And her divorce from Don, her split from Steve Lodge. She has truly lived her entire life, the good, the bad, and the very ugly, on camera.
And now, her return immediately opens the door for guaranteed drama because of one group.
The trisomiest. Vicky and Tamra Judge had a big falling out, but they've reconciled. So if Vicky's back full time, there is a very high probability that the trio Vicky, Tamra, and Shannon Bedore will be reunited. And that dynamic is just, it's explosive. It's ratings gold.
So how will she shake up the current cast? We have Tamra, Shannon, Heather Dubrow, Gina, Emily.
Vicky's a force of nature. She doesn't ease into a situation. She drives right into it. Her return puts instant pressure on everyone. She's coming back to reclaim her show, and that means confrontation is pretty much inevitable.
While Vicky is making this triumphant return, another Bravo powerhouse is pivoting away, but also celebrating a huge achievement. Let's talk about Kandi Burruss.
Kandi received the Lifetime Achievement Award at the Bravos, which is so well-deserved. She holds the record for the longest-serving housewife in the entire franchise.
14 consecutive seasons on The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
But the award was about so much more than just her time on the show. I mean, her resume is insane.
She's a Grammy-winning songwriter. She wrote No Scrubs.
No Scrubs, Bills, Bills, Bills.
Mm-hmm.
She's an actress. She's launched successful spinoffs. She's a two-time Broadway producer. She is a true mogul.
She accepted the award with her daughter, Riley, seemed really moved. But what's so fascinating is that despite this huge honor from Bravo, she's not coming back to RHOA.
No, her statement was very clear. She said she's doing what I really love and is just not there at this moment in my life for a reality TV return. It's a very conscious pivot.
And that passion is taking her right back to the stage.
To Broadway. She's joining the cast of the musical in Juliet. She'll be playing Angelique, Juliet's nurse, for a limited run. It's a huge move that lets her use her musical background and get that artistic fulfillment.
So beyond those two giants, BravoCon was just a whirlwind of celebrity sightings.
The energy was just electric. You saw Luanda Lesseps hosting a fan meetup, Portia Williams and Gisele Bryant waving to huge crowds.
And there were some interesting pairings.
Yeah. Kyle Richards posed with Teddy Mellencamp Arroyo Ave. And maybe the most jarring one was Shianna Shea arriving with Jake from State Farm.
That is a perfect intersection of reality TV and advertising culture.
It really is. We also saw Seth and Meredith Marks DJing and Bozoma St. John with these incredible sleeves. Oh, and Karen Huger was there after her prison release. And Teresa Giudice seemed to have finally made up with Joe and Melissa Gorga.
Wow, so that feud might finally be over.
For now, anyway. It was a weekend that delivered on all the drama.
Okay, let's transition from staged reality to the reality of acting. I want to talk about the psychological boundaries actors have to create, specifically with Claire Danes and her new Netflix thriller, The Beast in Me.
Right, so she plays this character, Aggie Wiggs, who's described as introverted and controlled, but with this hidden animalistic energy. She gets into this dangerous relationship with her neighbor, played by Matthew Rhys.
That sounds intense. So how does she decompress? How does she shake off that shadow self after a day of filming?
She calls them her dumb transitional moments, which I love. She says they're mundane but crucial. Her two main rituals are putting her jewelry back on, her wedding ring and earrings, and the car ride home.
That's fascinating. So the jewelry is like a physical anchor back to her real identity.
Exactly. It's a way of saying, I am Claire, the wife and mother, not Aggie, the character. She says after filming, the barrier between herself and the character is a little bit too thin, so she needs these physical cues to reestablish that boundary.
It's a really conscious psychological effort. Her co-star, Matthew Rhys, just joked that his method was red wine.
Which is also valid. But her answer really speaks to the work required to keep that darkness from contaminating your personal life.
That need for control is such a contrast to the parental lack of control that Mark Wahlberg is dealing with.
Yes. His story about his daughter, Grace, is so powerful. Here's a guy who's done a million action stunts, and he is terrified of his 15-year-old daughter's passion for equestrian riding.
And that fear became very real on November 3rd when Grace was seriously injured.
She was rushed to the hospital by ambulance after a competition with a broken collarbone.
That is a severe injury. It completely validates his fear.
It does. He called horseback riding the most dangerous, nerve-wracking sport that I've ever watched. He said it was terrifying.
But despite the injury and the ambulance ride, what was her immediate focus?
Her focus wasn't the pain. It was the fear that her parents would stop her from riding again. Wahlberg said all she wanted to do was get back on that horse.
Wow.
And he said they have to let her do it. Her passion and discipline are just too strong to deny. It's such a universal parental dilemma, isn't it? Balancing protection with passion.
It really is. Okay, shifting completely now from internal struggle to external transformation. Let's talk about Jelly Roll.
Jelly Roll has been on this incredible health journey, dropping nearly 200 pounds. And to celebrate, he did something huge.
He shaved his beard.
For the first time in 10 years. His wife, Bunny X, revealed it on November 13th.
10 years is basically a different person. Why now?
It was for a photo shoot tied to his weight loss. Bunny was joking that they wanted to see his freaking jawline. It was a moment of pride, you know, to physically show the results of all that hard work.
And the reactions were extreme.
They were. Bunny said when she saw the total naked face, she thought, it's not terrible. Jelly Roll joked that they were checking to see if a facelift was needed. They surprised their loved ones and got reactions from, oh my God, I'm gonna cry, to, what the F? I am scared.
That's how you know the beard was part of his identity. And he's keeping it private for now.
Yeah, until the professional photo shoot is revealed. He'll show it publicly when he's ready.
Good for him. Before we move on, we have a couple of important milestones and a very sad tribute. First, congratulations to Jackie Oshry from the Toast podcast.
Yes, Jackie and her husband, Zach Weinrib, welcomed their third baby, a boy. He joins his older brothers, Henry and Charlie.
And her sister, Claudia, had the perfect sibling comment.
Of course. Claudia, who just had her first baby, commented, did I influence you? which is just perfect family trolling.
On a much more somber note, we have to acknowledge the passing of Clito Escobedo, the beloved band leader for Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Yeah, he passed away on November 11th at age 59. Mm-hmm. The cause of death was very complex. The primary cause was cardiogenic shock, which is when the heart suddenly can't pump enough blood.
And there was a whole list of contributing factors.
A long list. Sepsis, chronic kidney disease, pneumonia, and graft versus host disease, which suggests he'd had a bone marrow or stem cell transplant at some point. It was a really aggressive medical battle.
And Jimmy Kimmel was obviously devastated.
Incredibly emotional. He gave a tearful monologue calling it the hardest one he's ever had to give. They canceled the next two shows out of respect. He said Clito was a child prodigy who had toured with Earth, Wind and Fire, and Paula Abdul. It's a huge loss.
Definitely. Okay, let's talk about some buzzworthy projects and hit the red carpet. The trailer for Taylor Swift's new docuseries, The End of an Era, is causing mass hysteria online.
And it's all centered on one thing, her face.
Without makeup.
Right. The internet is melting down over the makeup-free moments in the trailer. It's such a huge contrast to her signature red lip and cat eyeliner look.
Why does this get such a powerful reaction from fans?
Because it's a deliberate move towards intimacy and relatability. She's one of the most polished stars in the world, and by showing herself without makeup, she's stripping away that professional armor. Fans are calling her beautiful and relatable. One fan said seeing her without eyeliner made them feel so normal.
It gives them permission to not be on all the time. What has Taylor herself said about the project?
She said her goal is to overserve the fans and give them something they didn't expect. She sees the documentary as an extension of the bonding experience of the tour, showing the vulnerability and the real downtime.
And it's so rare to see her like this.
Extremely rare. We've had like a handful of glimpses over the years. A behind-the-scenes video in 2008, a photo with her cat, a selfie with Ed Sheeran. The rarity is what drives the buzz. It makes the connection feel exclusive.
Okay, let's wrap up the week with a rapid-fire red carpet rundown, starting with the GQ Men of the Year event in LA.
Always a huge event. Kaley Cuoco called her partner Tom Pelfrey her hottest date ever, which was sweet.
And the fashion was on point.
Oh, yeah. Hailey Bieber and Kendall Jenner were there looking sleek. Sydney Sweeney showed off this pristine, sharp bob. Paris Hilton and Lizzo posed together. Olivia Rodrigo was sparkling in navy.
Who else was there?
Aziz Ansari and Seth Rogen. True Whitaker, Rachel Sennett, Josh Hutcherson. A real mix of established and emerging talent.
The same night, the Zootopia 2 premiere brought out the families.
Yes. Jason Bateman was there with his wife and daughters. And a kind of unusual pairing. Robert Irwin and his Dancing with the Stars partner, Whitney Carson, were there. Greta Brunson and Shelly Gomez, too.
And the AAPI Cinema and Television event was a big one.
A very important industry event. Dwayne Johnson was there to support Trailblazer Award honoree Lucy Liu. Jason Segel was there for his co-star Lakeith Maxwell. These events are confirmations of industry momentum.
What about internationally? Any big premieres?
The Landman premiere in Berlin had Ali Larter, Billy Bob Thornton, and Demi Moore. The Being Eddie premiere had Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence. Sadie Sink was at a Stranger Things screening in the UK. And Ariana Grande was in Singapore for the Wicked premiere.
We also saw some major figures at festivals.
Right. On his 77th birthday, King Charles was in Wales opening a new Metro Depot. Isabella Rossellini was at the Stockholm Film Festival. And the Bambi Awards in Munich had Cate Blanchett and Cher bringing all the glam.
Finally, quick East Coast sightings.
Tessa Thompson was at an awards event in New York. Robert Pattinson was filming his new movie in Newark, New Jersey. Lily Gladstone was leaving Good Day, New York. And Ewan McGregor was walking through Soho.
An incredibly busy few days. But let's cap our deep dive by revisiting the couple that always manages to generate some geopolitical buzz, Harry and Meghan.
Right.
We mentioned they were at Kris Jenner's party, but the biggest news about their future plans came from, of all things, a leaked personal letter.
Yeah, this came from an Australian celebrity astrologer named Angela Pearl. She shared a personal letter she got from the couple on her Instagram. It's a very unusual way for major news to break.
And what was the one critical line that sparked all the headlines?
The letter said, on a separate note, we look forward to staying in touch, especially as we look to visit Australia again. That single phrase, look to visit Australia again, is monumental.
Why is a trip back to Australia so significant for them?
It would be their first time back since they stepped down from royal duties in 2020. Their last visit, the royal tour in 2018, was a huge success. And it's where the palace announced Meghan was pregnant with Archie. Australia has a lot of affection for them.
And this potential trip fits with their recent strategy, doesn't it? A return to high-profile travel for their Artwell Foundation.
Precisely. They went to Nigeria and Colombia in 2024. A visit to Australia, which is still a Commonwealth realm, would be a major statement. It positions them as independent global players who are still engaging with the Commonwealth, but on their own terms.
And it becomes even more interesting when you compare it to what the rest of the royal family is doing.
It does. King Charles and Camilla toured Australia in 2024. The Australian Prime Minister wants William and Kate to visit soon. Mm. If Harry and Meghan pull off a successful tour there, it will inevitably draw comparisons and reinforce their status as independent global figures.
And just for context, the photo Angela Pearl shared with them was taken the same day they were seen with Ed Sheeran in New York for World Mental Health Day.
It just shows the careful management of their image. They are meticulously charting a new post-royal travel agenda, and Australia would be the biggest indicator yet of their global ambitions.
Wow. Okay. We have navigated the entire celebrity landscape today. We went from Akon's complex 29-year divorce strategy to Diddy getting AC in federal prison.
We saw Kris Jenner's party on Napoleon's floorboards.
And the massive shakeup in reality TV with Vicky Gunvalson's return.
And what stands out across all of it is how the personal is now completely integrated into the public narrative. Whether it's Claire Danes' private ritual for getting out of character, or Jelly Roll shaving his beard to celebrate his health, or Taylor Swift showing her makeup-free face for relatability.
Every single detail.
Every detail is now content for this ongoing global story. The line between private life and public performance is thinner than it has ever been.
It really is a 247 performance now with real-world consequences. We talked about Mark Wahlberg's intense fear over his daughter's dangerous passion for writing, which ended with a broken collarbone. So knowing the level of scrutiny we've covered today, let me leave you with this thought. If you had a hidden passion that was inherently risky or dangerous, would you keep it completely private and protected, or would you let it become part of your public scrutinized story?
Think about the cost of that visibility. We'll dive deep again soon.